Turn with me in your Psalters, please, for the final chapter of the book of Hosea, chapter 14. Been a good study, hasn't it, in Hosea? It's a great book. It's a short chapter, but full of wonderful gospel truth. Hosea chapter 14, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from them. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so in the first section, and I have that as verses 1 through 3, the call is to return to the Lord. There is a call from the prophet to return to the Lord. And notice first the cry, O Israel. And so the Lord shows himself here, reveals himself anthropomorphically as a man pleading with his people. O Israel, he says. Secondly, we see the use of the covenant name, reminding them of his faithfulness and their covenant obligations. Return to Yahweh. Thirdly, we see that he is thy God. And this is especially important, for the Lord still calls himself their God, even though they have rebelled. Try to tell me that this is not grace. This is most certainly a manifestation of the covenant of grace and not works. And so in all those then, O Israel, turn or return unto the Lord thy God. What a wonderful pleading the Lord has with his people. All right, so then, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Of course, there is a key there, a because. For thou hast fallen, or because thou hast fallen. And so, we draw from that, that when you have fallen by iniquity, the only remedy is to return to the Lord your God. That's the only remedy. It may not be the most comfortable or seem even to be the easiest thing to do. But it is in the end, and the alternative is not to be contemplated. The devices of the enemy of your souls are many to keep you from this repentance. I have 10 things that I've listed. Some will say, I have sinned too greatly. The Lord will not hear me. Others will say, I have sinned only slightly. It's not necessary. Some will say, it's not truly sin at all. Fourth, some will say, what will my friends think? Fifth, I am embarrassed. Sixth, my punishment is too great for me to bear. Seven, I was enticed. It's someone else's fault. Eight, I know it was wrong, but it was necessary. Nine, it may be wrong for others, but it was not wrong for me. My circumstance was particular or special. And ten, there were nine. The tenth is a summary. These and many more things stand in the way of true repentance, don't they? So nine things there, just off the top of your pastor's head, that keep us from repentance. All right, then note the second point, and this is extremely important. Take with you words. Notice that repentance is with words. Did you hear that? Repentance is with words. It is not with tears, although tears may accompany repentance. Tears are not essential to repentance. It may be with other kinds of discomfort. The discomfort is not essential to repentance. Words are essential to repentance. And so the prophet says, take with you words. Now, oftentimes words alone are not enough. Words can be spoken, can be thought insincerely, performance-based, right? Merit-based, mercenary-based. The Lord will not forgive me if I don't repent, so I better repent in order that the Lord will forgive me, kind of thing. Take with you words. There must be a turning to Him also. Notice, take with you words and turn unto the Lord your God. So words are essential, but not only words. There must also be a turning to the Lord. All right, then the words of repentance are described by the prophet, and they are exactly the reverse of their sins. Notice, first of all, take away iniquity when before they had denied sinning. Receive us graciously when before they cared not to be received by the Lord. We will render the calves of our lips true and sincere speech, leading to acceptable offerings, whereas before they sacrificed to idols. Asher will not save us when before they had placed their hope in foreign nations, and they will turn away from their idols and they will acknowledge the Lord as a father to the fatherless. You see what they have done in their repentance, in the instruction to repentance from the prophet. They are to turn exactly away from all of the things that they had previously done that were sinful before the Lord. Now the Lord answers. He answers that repentance. Here's what He says. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from Him. And then in the rest of that section, which is just a couple of verses long, 4-7, the Lord uses metaphors to describe what that kind of care and grace look like. Notice He says, I will be as the dew, He shall grow as the lily, He shall cast forth His roots as Lebanon. You know what that means, right? The roots as Lebanon. How deep are the roots of a cedar tree? That kind of root. His branches shall spread, His beauty shall be as the olive tree, His smell as Lebanon. You ever walked in a cedar forest? Beautiful, isn't it? Wonderful. And that is, remember that cedar in the Old Testament was used as something that was sweet and good smelling, aromatic, instead of something else. Right? Because what does death, corruption, and rottenness smell like? And we contrast that with cedar. And then, they that dwell under His shadow shall return and revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. And so in several sweet metaphors, the Lord declares Himself ready to forgive. And then note in verse 8. I don't know about you, but this is the one that's hard to get through without getting choked up. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? Right? He has repented. He has turned away from his idolatry. And what does the Lord say? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. And so the Lord presents himself as rejoicing, as a fir, as a green tree, growing and branching out and rejoicing in its fruitfulness. And so then the book ends with these questions. Who is wise and shall understand these things? Who is prudent and he shall know them? The ways of the Lord are right and the just shall walk in them. That's who. And then the final sentence, but the transgressors shall fall therein. There is yet a warning to the people of God. And that wraps up the book of Hosea. Next week, the prophecy of Joel. We begin, right? The prophecy of Joel.